Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're going through every single special voice that Tim Swartz offers. Not a thousand. What was it? 27 and a half, right?
27 and a half. That's right.
Okay.
Still working on that half one.
Okay. Well, we'll get there one of these days. Joe Foster, please continue with all this strange stuff that's happening when you were in the military. Did you feel unique at all about encountering all this or what?
The funny thing, at the time it was happening, I knew it was unique from my perspective, but I think a lot of people just don't pay attention or they shrug their shoulders. I think it really depends upon the individual. And there were so many things that happened in my life, and actually even before my life. I mean, my mother had stories herself, before I was there. So, to me, these things weren't all that unique as such, but there's something that you definitely wanted to pay a little attention to because there was a broader meaning to it all, I believe. And so, that was my case. The interesting thing about one of the sightings that I had, the sighting where we had objects flying over the ship at 3,500 miles per hour, and we had visual confirmation and estimate the speed and things like that, was that that was the only one of those three sightings while I was in the service that were formally reported. Okay, so that Navy yeoman that I played tennis with, when he said we get thousands of those reports every year, well, guess what, guys? You got one out of three that I can, well, I'm going to say two. The USO, that was an interesting one because the object was about 100 foot long and it was about 35 foot wide at its widest part and it was teardrop shaped. Okay. But it was a dark mass. There was no lights, but there was also no apparent fluke action or fin action that would indicate that it was a living creature that was, propelling itself underneath the ship at a low rate of speed, but we only saw it for maybe 7 or 8 seconds before it disappeared in the chop of the water and the sky conditions, just completely obliterated it. So that one there, I would give to say, now that one that maybe we couldn't report because I don't know what we would report. The object that we saw when we were shooting morning stars, again, I was a navigator, navigators or communications and navigation. So I was shooting morning stars with my captain, the officer of the deck, and my chief, the chief quartermaster. And I was hacking for the officer of the deck, and my chief was hacking or operating the stopwatch for the captain. The captain and the officer of the deck were operating the sextants. So, they were actually taking the readings. We were doing the time mark. It was at that time we were on the starboard bridge wing. And of course, the ship is heading back about 2 days out of Guam, I guess, heading back to Honolulu. And we were north of the Marianas. And all of a sudden, we saw this gigantic silver, it was mercury-colored sphere that was closing on us. And it was on a reciprocal course coming from in front of us, heading directly at us. Well, the officer of the deck and the captain dropped their sextants. We're all watching this object heading towards us. And as it got closer to the ship, it was maybe 400 feet in the air, but it was going to pass us on the port side. We were on the starboard side. So when it came, we saw it disappear in the rigging and towards the mast on the port side of the ship. And of course, the lookout was up on the flying bridge. He saw it as well. But I figured, well, this is great. Now the captain's seeing this object, and he's going to sit there and say, okay, let's fill out that sit rep, the sighting form that you have to fill out, And then let's get it transmitted and give it to the radio officer like we did for the three objects. They gave it to the radio officer who took it down to the radio shack and they transmitted it to points unknown. Well, this time here, thinking that the captain was going to recreate that, all he did when it passed us on the port side and disappeared behind the ship, he just shrugged his shoulders and went back to shooting morning stars, which is a half hour before sunrise. So, you know, it never got reported. So out of three sightings, only one got reported. Okay. Now, if you extrapolate and say, well, that Goldman, who works in a computer processing port for the Fleet Intelligence Central operation, you know, if he's saying they get thousands of those reports, well, it must be in the tens of thousands, because if other people don't report things, you know, then why should we?
All right. Mm-hmm. You referred to this through a portion of the show, that people there were not reporting their UFO encounters. And obviously, mm-hmm. I would think if it happened to me, it'd be one of the most significant things. Was it because they feared blowback? Why wouldn't they report these encounters?
I think there's a number of things. This captain, he's not worried about his career. His career was exemplary, and he's going to be retiring fairly soon anyway. I think it was more along the lines of, why should I make more work for myself and other people when nothing will happen? He spent his whole life at sea. And I think that's the main point, is that he had seen so many things over the years that are strange, that are bizarre, that should be reported in our mind's eye. He said, why do it? You know, this is so commonplace, it's nothing. And that is true. It is commonplace. I guarantee if you spend any time at sea at all, you will see something eventually, because I think something like 70% of all UFO sightings are over water, in water, or over the ocean. You know, it's phenomenal, the amount of sightings that have to do with the ocean. So he has spent his whole life at sea, so it's not extraordinary. So he's not going to waste his time with it. That's my take.
There's no specific policy, therefore, mandating that they report something?
Oh, no, there absolutely is. There's two documents. I think they both came out in the early 50s. One is Janus 146E, is I think the most recent. And that is a document that tells you what to report, why you report it, you know, what falls into the category that should be reported. And it's anything of a national defense nature that takes place in the scene by ships at sea. There's another one that's called Service, CIRVIS. And I just got this validated. This was validated for me a couple of weeks ago. We had a conference here at the historic Project Diana site, and it was a UFO UAP conference, first of its kind, put on at Fort Monmouth. And one of my presenters was an Air Force colonel, retired colonel, who was also a pilot, has like 39,000 hours of flying time. And he had five sightings himself that he presented, that he actually talked about. And one of them was, you know, one of them at least was reported. And he mentioned that they use Service as a reporting mechanism. That's what you're supposed to do. If it's something that, like you see a missile coming out of the water and you see high-speed aircraft doing something or heading toward the United States, you are supposed to report those. But not everybody does, because, again, a lot of people just don't want to have to do the paperwork. Or there's also the fact that if you report something like that, now you got to get debriefed, and you have to debrief your crew, and that becomes a problem in of itself. Is how do you enforce it? One of the aircraft carriers, I'm not sure if it's the Roosevelt or the Kennedy, they had a UFO that hovered over its flight deck, a gigantic UFO that hovered over its flight deck, and all the crew were told to stay inside, but one radio operator went out on one of the landings that you can get to, and he saw it. And when they got back to Norfolk, the whole ship was debriefed over the closed circuit TV.
We've got more to come with Joe Foster. Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Joe Foster telling us about the trials and tribulations of daring to report a UFO. And a lot of it sounds like they don't want to be bothered with all the red tape. Could it also impact their careers negatively?
Yes. That I know for a fact, because Major George Filer, his career was negatively impacted. and because he was involved with UFO sightings while he was in active duty. He really thinks he should have made colonel at the time, and he had the recommendations and evaluations, but because he had something to do with UFOs, he was passed over. And that happens a lot. You get passed over for a lot of things. And sighting and reporting a UFO is not, would never be considered a career-enhancing move. That I know of. I mean, my time in the service and, you know, talking to people that I've talked to and understanding how promotion boards work.
So now, is that because, you know, promotion boards have people that just aren't familiar with all of the activity that people are seeing over the years and just naturally assume, oh, well, you know, this guy said, you know, he saw UFOs, so, yeah, no, he's not going anywhere. Or is it a little bit more conspiratorial where it's just like, no, we can't, you know, we can't let this guy, you know, ascend the ladder if he's going to be talking about something that we want to keep secret?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say that there's a couple of different, this is my thought. I believe that, you know, you have a number, there's a ripple effect. Okay. There's also the fact that, you know, things go up and things go down. If I'm your boss and you sit there and I sign off either tacitly or fully on what you're talking about, that's going to haunt me and it's going to impact the people that have to make assumptions or decisions about my own advancement. So, you know, you don't do these things in a vacuum. And so consequently, it's just like, let me give you an example. A buddy of mine was military intelligence back in the 60s and 70s. When he wasn't on doing missions that were, you know, human intelligence type gathering stuff, he worked out of a place called Fort Halbert down out in Baltimore, which is spook school is the way he described it. And when they weren't doing their other missions on the road, they were given work to do inside. They would go into a vault, and they were given the task of declassifying classified material from World War II. And he said that they would go in there, and he said it was the most boring thing that you could ever do. You have to sit down, and you take out these folders, these files. You have to read everything. Then you have to go through a declassification process, maybe stamping and logging it or whatever. He said it got to the point where it was so tedious, it just kept everything classified, stamped and kept it classified, because they didn't have to do anything. Just put your time in. Don't do the right thing, because there were literally billions of documents. We are so overclassified in this country. And it's probably a good reason, because it's so difficult to declassify these things. That's true. You kind of take that with a grain of salt. It's probably a lot to do with human nature more than anything else. Also, the fact that you didn't want your name dragged through the mud for certifying somebody below you and saying, becoming part of that chain. So I think that's just an unfortunate fact of life.
Now, let me pursue this further here. Mm-hmm. We can go into more military cases, and hopefully we'll have time as we continue through the final segments of the show. But right now, what do you think the authorities know that they are not telling us about UFOs? Do you think they know the answer, or are they just trying to figure it out?
I tell you the truth, all I have is what my gut tells me. But I have no insights, you know, beyond... I mean, I never did anything where I would have that type of inside knowledge, if you will. Let's go back to 1970 in Pearl Harbor. Okay, that yeoman, that third class yeoman, he was part of a machine. You know, he's a cog in the machine, if you will. Now, interestingly, you know who was stationed there at Pearl Harbor at the same time? And that was Bobby Ray Inman, Admiral Bobby Ray Inman. He was a lieutenant commander at the time, but he has always been with ONI, Office of Naval Intelligence. So let's do the if then else, or the follow the thread. This guy, this yeoman, who is a computer guy, who is monitoring and managing data, and obviously he had some type of insight into type data that they were gathering there, and he would say that they had thousands of those reports every year, and a lieutenant commander who is, you know, with ONI, who was also there at that time, he would have to say he would probably have to have the same insight into what was being processed and what the processing really meant. Now, how much did they actually know about the phenomena itself, other than we know that crashes have taken place? We know that there has been debris and wreckage. We also know that they have radar and sightings and reports. You know, so they have all of that. But how much more they know, I'm not sure. You know, it would probably go into a Lockheed Martin, because Lockheed Martin is beyond, or any defense contractor, is beyond the scope of Freedom of Information Act releases. They don't have to release freedom under the Freedom of Information Act. So that means anything that is that classified could be very easily hidden away forever.
Okay, let's look at forever for a moment here, all right? You talk about debris. You're talking in terms of Roswell now or something else?
Well, there are other reported debris sites in here in Russia, Germany, you know, all over. I mean, there's been reports of crashes going back years. I mean, going back to 1897 even. So, I mean, all that place, I mean, that means there has to be stuff someplace of all these reports. If that's the case, it has to be kept someplace. It has to be looked at, has to be evaluated, doesn't it? I mean, this is just me using simple, for me, common sense, that this is all true. And that means it's all hidden away. Well, I'm saying that if it's hidden away, you can't necessarily hide it in a government facility, because that falls under the Freedom of Information Act, as we all know now. But if it's hidden away at a defense contractor site, whether it's a Lockheed Martin or the gentleman down there in Las Vegas, he can hide it away, and he doesn't have to comply with any Freedom of Information requests.
Let's do our break here. Maybe he's talking about Bob Bigelow, by the way. Let's do our break with Joe and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. More than 70 people are feared dead after a catastrophic series of tornadoes ripped through Kentucky and other states late Friday and early Saturday. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear.
This has been the most devastating tornado event in our state's history. And for those that have seen it, what it's done here in Graves County and elsewhere, it is indescribable.
On Saturday afternoon, the White House approved Kentucky's state of emergency and ordered federal assistance to supplement state and local response efforts.
The Biden administration is seeking to reassure Americans regarding rising inflation after the Labor Department's Consumer Price Index report showed prices rising at their fastest annual pace in nearly 40 years. This is USA Radio News. Dr. Naomi Wolf on Steve Bannon's War Room. There's some kind of contract where governors have to deliver a certain percent of vaccinated in order to get something from pharma or in order to fulfill their contract. You can see the structure over and over. We have to reach 70% or 80% of vaccinated or you don't get your rights back. She said this is not how America works.
Our Constitution doesn't say when there's a bad disease, the Constitution is suspended. It just doesn't. So, we've lived through smallpox, we've lived through HIV, we've lived through all of it with our Constitution intact because that is the law of the land. You don't get to just say the laws don't apply in a democracy. It's illegal, it's unlawful, and it's criminal.
The assistant director who handed Alec Baldwin a prop gun that killed a cinematographer on a New Mexico film set must make himself available for an interview with state workplace safety regulators, a judge has decided. This is USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so this is something I've mentioned in the past, Joe Foster, that if they have any really important, significant evidence, the best way to hide it would be to take it out of the military and stick it somewhere in private industry. And when you talk about Las Vegas, you're speaking of Bob Bigelow then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he would be the perfect foil for it.
With the current government UFO investigation, and now they're renaming, doing musical chairs, renaming the project, and a couple of weeks ago we featured Colin Kelleher, who is a scientist who actually works with Bob Bigelow, talking about different aspects of UFOs, about the hitchhiker effect, where if you see something, other phenomena may happen around you. You may suffer negative physical effects, things like that. But then again, the way the government is treating this in the report, especially the one that was released in June, is that nothing else happened but this. Or everything is like this. They ignore the years of history in the UFO field with various cases. And you think if they had proof positive, were being visited by ET or whatever the cause is, they have the evidence. They have the wreckage somewhere, even if private industry has that wreckage. What's the point of investigating anything, or is that just a smokescreen?
Well, you want to get way out here?
Way out? This is the Paracast. Let's get way out.
I mean, way out. My guess is that, let's take it down this path. Let's say that the aliens have manifested themselves, and they have made themselves available to us, and they have made deals on the side, whether they're good deals or bad deals, whatever. But the fact of the matter is that it has nothing to do with us directly, but it does have something to do with somebody else. So if I was somebody who wanted power and wealth and fame, and I wanted to swing a deal with somebody that can give me all that, how far would I go? Or when I say I, how far would some people go Would they sell out the entire human race and say, okay, well, the aliens are saying that we need to depopulate because it's just too many people. Okay?
Say what? What did the aliens say?
I'm just taking down a certain path. Let's say that the aliens have decided that, for whatever reason, they've got to call the herd. We're nothing more than a bunch of cattle. Okay? Visualize us being cattle. We have issues. I mean, the human race has had issues for years. But let's say that they've decided that, well, you know, we don't need all these people. And, you know, they're putting a strain on resources. They're doing this, that, and the other thing. And they say, okay, we're going to reduce the population by a certain amount in order to, say, make room for another group of people that maybe want to come in, another group of aliens or whatever. And so they go through, and they go through this whole process with leaders of governments, leaders of the United Nations or whatever, and they decide, okay, we're going to allow you to do this. You've got to make it happen. Otherwise, we'll do it for you. And that might be messy. So let's say that they come up with, Rand Corporation comes up with a study, 1966, let's say. And let's say that they were looking at world population issues such as famines that were engulfing Africa, Saharan Africa or whatever. And they said, okay, the population right now is about 3 billion people. But we think that the optimum population for the entire world might be 500 million. And they come up and say, because of food supplies. And then they push, the government says, okay, well, let's see if we can increase our food supply. And they come up with GMOs. GMOs didn't happen in a vacuum. And there was a lot of government participation in order to create more corn to feed the starving masses. And they went on with that. And then there were other crops. Now they were able to get the population up to, what, 7.5 billion people now. All of a sudden, a number just came out. Somebody said, you know, the optimum number now would be probably be about 800 million. Who's coming up with those numbers? Or why would they be looking at that if it was a question of increasing food supplies or doing other things? Let's say that the aliens are the ones that are pushing for some type of solution. Well, you have governments right now. You have people in governments that will sell their own mother for a dime. And, you know, well, what's a couple hundred million people?
Wait a minute. Why would E.T., if E.T. exists, care what we do?
Well, I'm not saying, I'm just saying that a possible solution or a possible look might be that there is an alien component. Let's say for argument's purposes, there are 56 or 57 different varieties of aliens that have visited or are visiting the Earth. Some are good, some are bad, some don't care one way or the other. But there's all types of potential threats or power plays or whatever you might want to say. And who is making those power plays? Well, it's not you and I. We're not doing it. But somebody may be doing it, right?
Well, I just think here that's a pretty drastic thing to get rid of 7 billion people.
That study that says that is what needs to be done was actually used as part of the Rio Accords. And the Rio Accords, of course, became Agenda 21. Now it's Agenda 2035. This is not anything new. And
Agenda who?
It's all been out on the
internet. Whoa. Agenda who what?
Agenda 21 came out of the Rio Accords. There were two or three studies that went into the Rio Accords. One of them was that Rand Corporation study of 1966. Interestingly, the number on the Georgia Guidestone, 500 million was the optimum number for the world. 55 million is for the United States. And if you look at the UN map, the UN map had everything reduced to 7 population centers in the United States. And they did this country by country. This is not
are you referring not to the? Making are up. You referring to the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit back in 1992?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and just wanted to clarify.
Okay, you have to understand the Agenda 21 was a treaty, and that treaty in order to get a treaty through, they had to get ratification and all that good stuff. Well, what happened was here in New Jersey, we came up with something in the early 90s, right after 92, that was called Smart Growth. And the Smart Growth program was based upon a DEP, the Department of Environmental Protection, map. Wrong solution, wrong reason and everything else, but it was easy, it was there. They used that, and they came up with a concept that was called a cross-acceptance plan. I'm on planning boards. I mean, I've known about this stuff recently, even though it took place early on. But basically what it was, each town every 10 years or whatever has to go through its update its master plan. But what they've done back in the 90s, they said, okay, well, your master plan is no longer going to be sufficient. Now what we need to do is do cross acceptance by all the towns that abut your town. They have to accept your master plan just like you have to accept theirs. And that has to be done for in here in New Jersey. It was 567 towns. Okay. 567 towns. Once they went through that cross acceptance, that basically they ratified. That means the state actually signed its name to the Agenda 21 treaty. Now all 50 states have gone through similar programs along with seven territories. The only thing needed now is a simple majority vote by the U.S. Senate. Everything else is done. But once that happens, that means you sign on to all of the constructs that fall within that agenda. That's the reason right now, the big thing, the Agenda 2035, go and Google it. Go out and look and see what the UN has going on.
We will look at what's going to happen in our next segment with Joe, Jean, and Tim. You're in.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Investors, listen up. There's been incredible demand in the market for companies focused on strategic mineral exploration. And right now, mineral discovery groups are piling into British Columbia's prolific Golden Triangle due to the massive discovery potential. China's economy is slowing down. Consumer goods remain in short supply. Pandemic-induced disruptions continue to affect global supply chains. And now the markets are bracing for interest rate hikes. All of this reads like a recipe for paying attention to companies focused on precious metals and in-demand minerals. Find out about the hottest companies leading the charge to revolutionize the multi-billion dollar mineral exploration market for free when you text the word HOT to 71441 for your free subscription to DearWallStreet.com. Text the word HOT to 71441 now to get information on these hot companies that we've identified. Get free intelligence on this hot market delivered directly to your mobile device from DearWallStreet.com when you text the word HOT to 71441. Text and data rates may apply. Text HOT to 71441.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Well, all these plans. Of course, when we talk, Joe Foster, about the U.S. Senate approving anything with its present composition, if it's not bipartisan, which, of course, nowadays is a dirty word, do you really think it would pass?
Here's my greatest concern. My greatest concern is that nobody reads the bills that they sign. And that's both sides. I mean, this is bipartisan. Sometimes the bills are just too big. If you have 2,600 pages, are you going to read each and every one of those? Or do you rely on a clerk? Or do you just say, the heck with it, I'm going to sign off on it because somebody else said it's a good bill. And that's the problem, because we are getting so much bad legislation because people are not paying attention. And that's the same with the Agenda 21. That was snookered through. Nobody knew about this about 4 or 5 years after it all happened. That's how these things go through. And my concern is that, you know, a lot of good people down in Washington, I make statements from time to time, but for the most part, I think they most of them want to be down there for the right reasons. They just don't have the bandwidth to be able to accomplish what they really need to accomplish on our behalf. That becomes problematic.
By the way, folks, if you're wondering about Agenda 21, it is, according to Wikipedia, a non-binding action plan of the United Nations with regard to sustainable development. Just wonder why E.T. would care about us. They could, of course, take the tact that was used in the original film, The Day the Earth Stood Still, the one with Michael Rennie from 1951. And he said, you get your acts together, Earth people, in so many words, or we'll just take you out. And if we're going to reduce the population here to hundreds of millions from billions, you'd have to take out most of the population in order to do it, or take them away, which is kind of a massive moving project. That's one question I'll ask, and we hope to continue with Joe on After the Paracast, part of the Paracast Plus this week, and that is, if someone from out there, a race from out there, wants us to reduce our population to a fraction of what it is now, how do you take it out without destroying the planet?
Well, you could look at it this way, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Pandemics and disease has been with us since the beginning of time. Whether it has been promoted by human action at some point, yeah, absolutely it has. Blankets impregnated with smallpox wiped out large portions of Native American populations. There's been all types of rumors even about the Black Plague and so on. Can it be done intentionally? Yeah, you can bet. You best believe it. Project Paperclip. Everybody thinks about, you know, Wernher von Braun and Willie Lee and the folks, the engineers and scientists that came over that built our space program for us. But you know something? There were a lot of medical people that came over, too, that worked with Dr. Mengele. Matter of fact, there on Long Island, you had Plum Island. Plum Island is a class, the category or class 5 bio lab specializing in animal. There was work there that was being done by Project Paperclip people. Even to the fact about the COVID-19, I saw one interesting report that showed that DARPA had 980 different variants sitting on the shelf. They wouldn't do anything with it, but that doesn't mean somebody else wouldn't or didn't or may be doing it right now.
The number of deaths as of the time we do this show from COVID-19 worldwide is 5.27 million, which is quite a number. But it's not like several billion. The havoc that would be caused by hundreds of millions dying, forgetting billions, would be impossible to calculate.
Yeah, but let's say for argument's purposes, you didn't do it immediately. Suppose you did it over 20 or 30 years. How noticeable would it be? Or, you know, there's so many different things that are happening or could conceivably happen that it's very hard to stay on top of everything unless it happens immediately. You know, I'm not saying this is happening, but I'm saying don't rule anything out. I mean, anything is possible.
Well, it's a question of practicality. If you really want to cull the population of so many millions or billions of people, you think, where do you bury them? Where do you place them? How do you convey this impression? Because we're talking about COVID showing up at the end of 2019. That's why it's called COVID-19. And now as we do the show, it's 2 years later. We have 5.27 million. Now, if we continue that way, it would take 20 years to make it over 50 million. So if we're going to have this gradual phase out of the human population, number one, you probably would have to sterilize most people so they wouldn't have children. That would be one other way of reducing the population. But it would take maybe a couple of generations. But one way would be to cause worldwide sterilization of some sort. I mean, obviously people would complain. It wouldn't be something they'd accept. But I'm just throwing ideas out there if they want to do something like this. Obviously, this is not something that is beyond the point of speculation at this point, that something this drastic could occur or that anyone would seriously think of enforcing it. We have just a couple of minutes worth before we go on to our premium show, Joe. Would you like to summarize where we've gone so far? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think what we're doing, I think we're scratching the surface. I think that just about every aspect of what we've been talking about, the breadth and depth is much greater than I think we all realize. And again, even to the point where, you know, if you want to sit there and say, what is the cause and effect? What is the rationale? Is there a rationale? And is this something beyond the scope of our understanding at this point in time? I'm going to have to say, yeah, it probably is. Is that necessarily bad? No, not necessarily. Because it's something that what I like is that we're forced to think sometimes about things that we don't want to think. And sometimes, you know, just the thinking of it negates the fact that, you know, it may be in fact true. Sometimes things can't stand the light of day. And that means, you know, you have to keep them out, you have to hold them in the light where they won't do you any harm. So I think that it's all good. I think it's all good stuff, ultimately, that, you know, we are talking about it. We're able to sit here and have a conversation about things like this, the UFO aspect, the geopolitical aspect, whatever. And I think that's good. And when we can't do that anymore, then we've got problems.
Hey, Joe Foster, please tell our listeners if they want to know more about the things you do. Do you have a website or some publications they could check out?
Yeah, I do. The website is millenniumoss.com, https, www.millenniumoss.com. You go out there and you'll see that, you know, I have presentations, I have some conference information that's uploaded there, and my contact information as well.
Well, we'll check out the site, and we're going to have, by the way, further discussions with Joe Foster on After the Paracast this week. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Check the Paracast on Facebook, but don't use our URL because for some reason it doesn't work because Facebook is doing funky things. But then those of you who have checked out Facebook lately, it's doing more and more funky things. We can do a show or two on that, but not on this kind of show, I guess. Now you can also get branded merchandise for Paracast listeners at the Paracast.shop, the Paracast.shop. We have four different logos. We have the usual range of T-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and everything. The Paracast.shop. Don't know if you can get it by Christmas or not, but place your order as soon as you can. We also have the Paracast Plus, where we offer a special version of this show with better audio, free of the network ads, and we also include the After the Paracast podcast. Uncensored, you never know what will happen next. And we're starting to include special classic interviews from Bob Zanotti, our staff announcer, including interviews with Gray Barker. We'll have some Ivan Sanderson interviews coming up shortly. Check out the Paracast.plus with the coupon code UFO20. That's UFO20. We give you a 20% discount on lifetime or five-year subscriptions to the Paracast.plus. Joe Foster, this is the beginning of a long conversation. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
It's a pleasure being here. Look forward to talking with you again.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.